Do we have another question on that side? Okay. Oh, now many hands are going up. I'll try to, yeah, okay. So we'll probably start collecting now to make a little more fair. Let's see. Okay, go ahead, please.
So this moose analogy suggests that there is something, some act of creativity or something like that, that can shock the lawmakers into doing the right thing, into answering these questions right. And with your, Professor Lessig, recent shift to focusing on corruption, you've said that these have been easy questions for a long time. I mean, when the Grey Album came out in 2004, it was an easy question that it's an act of creativity and should be legal. And the reason they're answering them wrong isn't because they haven't seen the right things, it's because they've been corrupted by something. And I appreciate that you're exploring that. Is there still something to be done until that corruption issue gets resolved for activists and the free culture movement on the ground? And what's the role of that movement going forward?
Yeah, okay, so...
Hang on, please. Oh. We'll start collecting a couple because otherwise we won't get everyone to... Okay, the authority of the moderator is taken out of my hands. Okay, so please go ahead and answer this question before we collect the next ones.
You thought you were the moderator, but it's a 21st century moderation.
It should be more like a dictator, right. But then again, no.
So you're right. The moose analogy says there's things we need to do to get people to see the point. And there's still enormous work to get ordinary people to see the point. People who are disinterested in the sense that they don't have a financial interest in one outcome or the other, we still need to convince them, right? I think we've done extraordinarily important work in spreading this story to teachers and to parents and to scientists and all the people who should be allies here, but there's still a lot of work to be done. I don't think the moose is gonna do anything to deal with the politicians. I don't think they're subject to reason about this issue. The embarrassment of the EU extending copyright terms is the best example of exactly this kind of corruption that you're talking about. Like, there was no justification for that, none. The bullshit stories they told about how, oh, this helps poor artists, were laughable on their face. If you were an artist whose recording is still making money 50 years after it was produced, you're not a poor artist, right? This is not about poor artists. This was about a couple record companies who had an enormously valuable asset and a couple performers like Sir Cliff Richard, who continued bizarrely to be popular in the world, who thought this was a way to make more money for them and as a consequence, shut down access to 95% of these recordings that have no continuing commercial life at all. There was no justification. And European scholars and commissions had been uniform in this. The fantastic work of the Gowers Commission in Britain, which was headed by the former editor of the FT, which concluded that it could, quote, never make sense to extend the term of an existing copyright, was, I thought, as powerful an argument in favor of the sensible policy here as you can imagine, yet Europe passes this extension, the newspapers don't even write about it, because why would you even take seriously that there's a policy debate going on here as opposed to just enormously powerful political interests that have a distorted influence inside of government. Now, it's not for me to say that the European Parliament demonstrates a democracy gap. It's not for me to say. It's for me to say, suggests that there's an important democracy gap here, but it's for you to say that, right? You can evaluate the democracy credibility of the European Parliament. But I will say about the United States equivalent that there's no hope right now to begin to get the United States Congress to focus on these issues in any sensible way. I mean, the problem is influence is radically greater in the United States than in Europe. I mean, in the United States, to be a member of Congress, you spend between 30 and 70% of your time raising money. to get to Congress. Not just even for yourself, you're taxed to raise money for other members of your party. And if you don't raise that money, you're not allowed to get committee chairs that you want or perks like the staff that you need. You've got to raise money. So what that means is they are constantly focused on the people who get them money. And who get them money? Who gets them money? It's the lobbyists inside the system. The lobbyists inside the system who come to them and say, here's the bill we want you to pass. We've already written it for you. And if you do this, we'll run a fundraiser for you that raises 20% of what you need to get reelected this time. That system cannot ever rationally respond to the merits of the issue. It will only ever produce this enormous distortion in favor of interests which are disproportionately powerful, and Hollywood's interests are exactly that. So you're right, I announced about a year ago I'm shifting all of my academic and activist work as I can towards dealing with this issue of corruption. It's a plain corruption of the system. And I do think we have to solve that problem before we can solve any of these other problems, because you know it would be one thing if it were just in esoteric areas like copyright that this corruption happened. But in the United States, there is still a question whether Barack Obama will have the votes to pass any major global warming legislation in this term. It's still probably the case that 12 Democratic senators will not support global warming legislation because if they do, their ability to raise money to get into the Senate will be totally cut off because the oil companies and coal companies so directly control their funding opportunities. Now, the idea that we can't address the most significant public policy question the world faces because of this problem of corruption is, in my view, outrageous. And it's that reason why, you know, I think we've got to solve that problem there. But I also suspect you have the same problem to solve here.
Okay, I can't really follow the discussion anymore because I'm thinking about my role, you know. No, I'm not going to give you the microphone, though.
You already touched it a little bit when you are talking about the discussion about a flat rate model. And when you were talking about these candidates for the moose, you said that the third candidate is, for your opinion, the strongest one, which I would also say so. But what is the follow-up? Is it for politics, for the lawmakers at all, the point of cutting down the copyright at all? Or is it like to change the system for private use, where you were talking about a different copyright systems for different parts of creativity? It would be like more for a system for private use, which could be a flat rate, and also a system of commercial use, like YouTube is doing partly, which big radio stations are doing, and so on. So wouldn't be like this flat rate the perfect idea for this ongoing process for the political level to follow up on your candidate three?
Okay, just 1 second now, Markus.
Okay, you talked about the European Parliament within the copyright extension. That was a mess. Shame on you, European members of the Parliament who voted for this. But last week or 2 weeks before, a European Parliament said no to the telecom package and the three strikes new out model of France by blocking the whole telecom package, which was the reform of the whole European telecommunication system, but just saying, okay, our user rights are more important than France, who are demanding three strikes you are out. What's your position on three strikes and you're out?
Okay, and one last one. Was there one on the right-hand side? Does anyone have the microphone already, or where? I thought there was someone who already had the mic. Okay. Well, this is going to take 10 seconds.
You're assuming I can remember all the questions, which,
yeah.
You know.
Yeah, well, I'll give you a hand.
Yeah. I just wanted to ask a question about some flat rate models. Malte started with it. My first question is, do you think it's possible to make a worldwide content flat rate? And the second question is this necessary, or could there be some national state models which are well? And the third question would be, how much should it be? And
okay, thank you.
Okay. So first, in response to the moose number three, so I think moose number three is the most important. And it's the most important because, in my view, the missing variable in this debate is the corrosive effect on our kids. I think that's the extraordinarily important thing to think about. And it's a little ironic. This book is dedicated in part to Jack Valenti, because this was actually Jack Valenti's biggest argument about the piracy problem. He described, in the first time I debated him at Harvard, he described this experience of talking to a group of Stanford kids, and 98% of them raised their hand and said that they were illegally file sharing. And he turned to his host and said, what is the moral basis on which we're building the next generation if that's the problem? I mean, if that's the way they're behaving. And I think that insight was exactly right. Now, his solution was wrong. His solution was, just like America and Vietnam, let's wage an ever more effective war against our enemy, use bigger, bigger bombs, and eventually they'll stop, as opposed to let's figure out a way to sue for peace. And I see the flat rate as a way to sue for peace.